eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to our season preview of the 2024 Major League Baseball Series. I'm Rich Rare of CBS Sports Radio. That, of course, is Brett Boone, the author of the Boone Podcast. And joining us today from The Athletic, our special guest, Tyler Kepner. Fellas, as we get ready to kick off opening day 2024. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing great. Can't wait.
Boone, are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm doing good. Kep, it's good to see you for our annual. We have certain things we do here with Tyler Kepner. All the important shows, previewing. Uh-huh. It's good to have you back. Rich, how you doing over there, Arizona?
I'm okay, but I'm a little concerned of Tyler's beard. I mean, that's just a whole new look to him.
I don't know. I
think it looks good.
Yeah, it's very sage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little gray in there, you know, makes you look a little older. I just turned 49 yesterday, so, you know, I'm not.
Happy birthday.
You go with some just for men. You got to get the right color, though.
Yeah.
Don't overdo it. I wouldn't know anything about that, but.
No, Brett Boone, no, would never know anything about that.
I'm not vain.
You had the frosted tips going back in the day. That was your thing.
Oh, it was an annual. The city expected it, Tyler. It was every 3 weeks, same barber chair, same frosted tips.
You paid for that.
It was every 3 weeks. I did the same thing. I got the tips, the cut, move on. And my answer to everybody was, you know, because you're a grown man bleaching your hair, so you kind of feel a little silly, that little insecurity. Why do you do it? My answer was the city expects it and move on.
You give the people what they want. Yeah.
Give the people what they want.
Just like when I walk into an all-you-can-eat buffet, they cringe and the people expect it.
it's the city expects it. Rich made it funny.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it.
All right, you guys ready to go? Let's start talking about the 2024 season. Before we get there, we'll get our fearless predictions. We'll get our predictions for the World Series and who's going to win the pennant. Just talk about the news breaking out of spring training as teams have fled Arizona and Florida, getting ready to start wherever the season is going to kick off for them. But obviously the biggest story that's going on in Major League Baseball and probably the world right now is Shohei Ohtani. So I wanted to get your takes on that from both of you. We'll start with Tyler. This is a story that if we would have done fearless predictions as we broke to come down to Arizona and Florida for spring training, I never would have expected. I never, ever would have bet on it. pun intended, that I'd ever see Shohei Ohtani involved in something like this. Tyler, what's your take?
My take is that it's still really confusing. You know, that the fact that they lawyered up so quickly after his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, had made the long statement explaining that Shohei had wired the money to pay off his debts. And, you know, that was all set up by Shohei's people. And then the lawyers were involved, and all of a sudden Shohei knew nothing and he was stolen from. Well, we still need to know, like, how does Ipe steal that money? And is he now going to be, are you going to, you know, pursue just at legal, you know, means against him? I mean, how did Ohtani get in this situation where he could be stolen from like that? How do wire transfers get made? How are wire transfers made for that much money?
9 different times to get to 4.5 million.
I mean, how do you not know that that the money's gone? I mean, I know he has a lot of money, but that's still a lot of money. So a lot of questions that are still lingering, but Ohtani now is dug in on the whole, I was robbed, I was lied to, it's all his fault.
You know, Tyler, I was going to bring this up with you as well, and I was reading in the LA Times today, they had an email that went out today that had all of the timetable of what's going on. I don't think anybody's mentioned this because it dawned on me while I was reading it this morning that a lot of this went on not as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, but a member of the Anaheim Angels. Why is Anaheim going to be able to escape with not having anything looked or fingers pointed their way?
There's been a lot of off-field issues involving the Angels the last few years, and not many of them have been good. And this is one that's another troubling one. I mean, yeah, he was an Angel up until, you know, December. So, you know, yeah, I think a lot of that. Yeah, I mean, I think though the bigger issue is California, where, you know, this where gambling is illegal and you have to go through bookmakers and everything. But I mean, just the idea that Shohei Ohtani wired money to an illegal bookmaker, that's a huge deal. And I know baseball's investigating it, but if it wasn't Shohei Ohtani, would that player be still active and playing, or would he be suspended right away? I don't know. I mean, they'd probably give him due process, but it makes you wonder, like, just that fact that a baseball player wired millions of dollars to an illegal bookie, I don't know. That seems really troubling, and we don't know how Ipe could have done this without Shohei knowing.
All right, so Brett, Shohei spoke to the media through a written statement that was a different interpreter gave. And the other day when they played, two Dodger PR people were there making sure that he was able to dress and leave without talking to the media. So if I'm a media member, Tyler and I are standing there with our microphones and Tyler's got his tape recorder, I got to go find somebody to talk to. If I can't talk to Shohei, I'm going to come talk to you. I'm going to come talk to his teammates. Tell me what this is going to be like in the clubhouse, because you know this. Everywhere you go the rest of the season, when I roll into San Francisco, when I go to Arizona, when I go to Texas, when I go to New York, the reporters are going to be there trying to find a story and getting their piece of this, and we're all going to come to the teammates if I can't talk to Shohei.
No English. That's my answer. All right. Here's how it. Okay. I have no doubts, and you know, I know some people.
Well, no, let's start with just the player reaction. Just if you're a player in that clubhouse, and there's and
the they're going to get tired of it.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
They're going to get tired of it. But these guys, you look at that Dodger roster. That's a bunch of that's seasoned professionals in that room. At some point, the players will just be like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't know. Go talk to Shohei. Okay, Shohei, this is going to be on his shoulders, this burden. And until we get some real answers, because Shohei is the biggest, maybe star in the world right now athletically, definitely the biggest star in baseball. There's a price that's paid when you're the biggest star and you sign $700 million deals. When something comes up like this, it's not going away. So he's going to have to deal with it. we're being asked, you know, people in the media now were being asked about this question. My whole take on the thing is I'm a huge Shohei Ohtani fan. From the get-go, I didn't think this could be done. I didn't think you could pitch and hit at the big league level, let alone a starting pitcher and a middle-of-the-order guy that he's become, doing it both at a star level. I'm a huge Shohei fan. And I think when you do that, when running through these scenarios, and I keep doing it in my mind, I'm trying to make him innocent in my mind. All right, well, let me go down this rabbit hole, this rabbit hole. Every conclusion I come to, it just doesn't add up. I mean, I know Ippe, I've heard for some people in the Angels organization, Ippe, he's a gambler. We know that. But when you're an interpreter, you're not betting millions of dollars. There's no bookie in the world that is going to take, that is going to give you $1 million line unless the guy with the funds okays it. That's just a fact in life.
Nobody's going to give you $1 million line and extend that line for years. I'm not going to be able to be in the hole for four million dollars for years.
Rich, let's take it one. You said there was 9 payments that we know of. Okay, whether there is or not. There had to be a point when there was a payout the other way. So when the payout the other way, did Ippy take that money or did Shohei take that money? Go, wait a minute. I'm paying the $500,000. I'm taking it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a huge Shohei fan. I want him to, but there's just too much. And at this point, because I don't have all the facts right in front of me, I'm not on the ground. I'm not behind the scenes. Yeah, I hear some things. I know some people that have been with Shohei quite a bit. And I hear, you know, possible scenarios. It's going to be really interesting. This is going to come out. There's just too much. He's too big of a star. And eventually, all the facts are going to come out. I think it's in the Fed's hands because they've got all the information. They've got the bookmakers' records and the bank records and the statements. So until I get that all in front of me to make a better assessment, I just know right now, every scenario I run through, I keep coming up empty. Something doesn't add up.
Tyler, reaction from Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office. Obviously, this is the biggest star of the game. This is somebody that I felt that you're going to see projected quite a bit as the new star in Major League Baseball. How does baseball react to this? And I'll throw this out. I was going to ask you this, but I'll throw this out since you're wearing a Cooperstown shirt. You know what? This is going to start again. Well, if this is going on with Shohei, what about Pete, who's still sitting out there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the easy answer for that is that Pete Rose, gambled on baseball and gambled on his own team. And that's the very clear rule. Yeah. And we don't know that Ohtani did that. There's no evidence that's come out that says that he did. So it's a different situation. That's the Pete Rose angle. I mean, it's just a different equation. And as far as baseball, I mean, they're going to continue to promote Ohtani and pretend that this isn't happening, but like, you know, pretend that you're not going to be thinking about that when they do promote him. They have to do this investigation and it has to be thorough, I think, because there are so many inconsistencies and so much doubt now. They have to answer those questions that Shohei wouldn't take the other day, which is, why did you change your story so quickly? And how the heck can someone steal all that money from you? Like, what are the mechanics of that? And because right now it's just all, it's a lie. It's all a big lie. Everything Ippe said was a lie, and he stole from me. But we don't know how that happened. And baseball's got to show us that to clear Ohtani.
Brett, people have said, well, you know, it's different. You know, Tyler and I, if we lose $10 in the wash, we're not going to pay attention to it. If Tyler and I lose $4.5 million in the wash, we're going to hear from somebody that we lost $4.5 million. I've heard a lot of people say, well, these professional athletes, they don't watch their money. They don't know where it is. We've seen so many guys that have gone bankrupt. As a guy who made some money, had financial advisors and an agent and people looking out for you, how could something like that happen? What are your thoughts when you hear people say, well, it's so much money, they don't even really know what's going on?
It can't happen. Well, okay. Now, Shohei's in a different category. you know, than us. You know, I was fortunate enough to make a good amount of money, but Shohei's kind of at a different level than that. You know, Shohei's making probably $50 million off the field. So the dynamic, it's more a Jordan-esque than in my situation. So there's a lot more money there. That being said, if Ipe was his accountant, I could buy into, hey, maybe there's some fraud and somebody that has access to these accounts. But as the first red flag, soon as there is a transfer with Shohei's name on it, Shohei's going to get a call from the bank, from his people that handle his accounts. Hey, is this on the up and up? I know you have a lot of money. I'm not getting into your personal life, but just want to make sure this wires capiche. Good. You're going to get a call from somebody. Once again, we're going back to somebody has to vouch for those denominations. Ipe is not going to be able to vouch for it. It has to be something the relationship is forged where, okay, you're good for it. We're good. Okay, there's a relationship there. I don't like in the press that there were some reaches to the Pete Rose scenario, as Tyler talked about. There's no evidence right here pointing that he bet on baseball. I can just take my personal experience as an athlete. Like everybody, like guys that sit around on Sunday and watch football. As athletes, I never met one baseball player that would actually even consider making a wager on a baseball game. But we're like everybody else. We get in the March Madness. We bet on games. We get in pools.
Right.
We're normal.
Fantasy leagues? I mean, yeah.
Right. We're normal red-blooded American. We do that type of stuff like everybody else does. But I never met a baseball player that would consider ever making a wager on a baseball game. That is the unwritten rule, which Tyler pointed out. So the Pete Rose scenario, that is way in the minority of athletes. So to stretch what Shohei's going through and go, oh, and if he bet on baseball, wait a minute. I never even thought about him betting on baseball. I thought he was a guy that in the off seasons watching football games on the weekends and bets on the Rams. You know, that's a pretty normal thing. Now you start throwing around millions of dollars. Well, then now it becomes different. Now the feds are involved. Now it becomes something where even if he was covering Ipe's bet, that becomes a tax thing. That becomes a gifting thing that's on a whole different level of somebody just handing you a couple thousand dollars to cover a bet.
Right. The tax thing I hadn't thought of, but that could be a huge deal. And also, you know, while there is no evidence that Shohei bet on baseball or Ipe, just the idea that there's millions of dollars involved and the guy who's Ohtani's right-hand man who's with him 365 and knows everything about him, he can give information potentially to the gambling community. It's not
a, you're right. He's not a guy going to will call and picking up his tickets.
He's in the clubhouse. He's in the traveling party every day.
He's got player access.
He can say Shohei's, you know, his arm's kind of hurting today, or I don't think he's going to be playing the rest of the season in late August.
Tyler,
the rest of the year.
He has such access to the clubhouse. He could say, "Hey, Kershaw's not feeling well." Kershaw's not feeling well. He could say Mookie's twisted his ankle. He could say he can give inside skinny to everybody if you have that kind of access. Let me finish off with this one thing. I'm going to ask Tyler this. Mark your calendar May 13th. That's the first time the Dodgers roll into Oracle Park to San Francisco. And you could imagine what the Giants fans are going to say and scream and yell, probably throwing fake money at him when he comes up to the plate, whatever. I see two camps that have already kind of set their feet. One is, of course he's guilty. The other is, there's no way he's guilty. How do we get to a point where everybody's already made up their mind on all of this? And we're going to see things that are just going to rock people and continue to rock people as the story unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nowadays people just seem to believe what they want to believe. And if they don't like the Dodgers, they don't like Ohtani, they can make jokes and whatever, I mean, before the evidence comes out. So it's It has the potential to be tough on him. The only thing I will say, though, is that I've seen enough of these scenarios where before the game start, we anticipate that it's going to be this constant siege from the fans, from the media, and it's just these guys are going to be berated. But that's when the story's really hot right now. And I know it's not going away, but there are going to be games every day. There's going to be 1,000 different storylines that we don't know about. And I just don't think I saw it, for example, with Jason Giambi, right? That steroid thing that happened in one off season. And it was like, oh, this is going to follow him all year round and stuff. It wasn't really a big deal. Like, he got some booze, but he signed some autographs. He's Giambi. He's a affable dude. He answered some questions. There were some things he said, I just can't talk about that. Our teammates were like, yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I really don't have anything for you. And then once you ask a question, the guy says, I got nothing for you, man. I really don't know about the situation. You can't really ask a lot of follow-ups because there's nothing more to ask. And then you're not going to ask the same guy the next day it doesn't tend to be as big a deal on a day-to-day basis from fans or media as we think it will when the story is new and fresh and hot.
Folks, that's why Tyler Kepner from The Athletic comes on our podcast, just because he is the voice of reason amongst all the baseball writers. That's why we love having him on. All right, so Tyler, this one's to you. Trevor Bauer has had some pretty good outings during the spring and exhibition games. Is he too toxic for anybody to even think about bringing in on any team in any role in Major League Baseball right now?
Well, that's what the teams have been telling us, right? I mean, because they have all chosen not to go after this guy, who sure seems like could help a team win some games in a vacuum. But I think teams must fear that there might be more out there. They fear being embarrassed or burned by trusting that there's nothing else that's going to come out, or trusting that Bauer will play nice and not be the controversial figure that he's been. I mean, the Dodgers, to some extent, took that leap when they signed him, right? I mean, there wasn't these specific incidents weren't out there, but the online persona, the provocateur, let's say, tendencies were always there, and they took a leap of faith that he would, blend in fine and there wouldn't be any controversy, and it blew up on him. So is another team going to trust him? I think it's about trust and about the fear that something else will come out, because you can have a press conference and you can get a guy to say the nice things and then and deal with the protest or the columns the first couple of days. But again, that would go away. But I think they're worried about what else might happen, what else he might do, or what else might come out from the past.
Brett?
Well, I always think about life and second chances. I'm sure what he's gone through, what Trevor's gone through, is pretty humbling for him as a man. And once again, this is the thing. I don't have all the facts. All I know is that there was an investigation. There was a police investigation, Major League investigation, and no charges came, and nothing legal came. They were all dropped. As a man, and I don't care if you're a fan of Trevor Bauer, you're not a fan of Trevor Bauer. I hate to see somebody that's not charged with anything not get an opportunity to earn a living at what he's done his whole life. So with not having a dog in the fight, and that's me, I'd like to see him get an opportunity. Obviously, to this point, Major League Baseball sees that differently, and each and every owner out there of the 30 ball clubs, they see it differently. Will he get a shot? It's going to be interesting to find out as we get into the season a little bit. Some injuries crop up. Does somebody take a flyer on it? But thus far, nothing happened. Just like I said, as a man, looking at another man and not having a dog in the fight, not having an opinion one way or the other about the individual, not really knowing Trevor Bauer. He was on my podcast.
Right.
I that doesn't mean I
before.
know him. You're right. I've never met him in person. So
it's
tough. It's a tough position. I never like to see somebody. He's not guilty. They found him innocent, but people are treating him like he's guilty. And what's the real story? I'd hate to see his career snatched from him. You know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm trying to say.
There's no right answer, Brett.
Right.
There's no right answer.
It's tough. It's tough for me to see that somebody have their livelihood taken away from them.
And again, when you put yourself out there, the way Tyler said, is a provocateur, and he was always very aggressive on social media. You put yourself out there for all those things going on, and then you're standing there and you've been throwing stones and you live in a glass house, they come back your way. So it's, I don't think there's a right answer. I'm waiting to see the first time that we have a major injury to a Cy Young candidate and a team that needs desperately needs an arm to stay in the race. Will that be enough to push him over the top? We'll have to see. One last thing I want to get to. There a lot was written during the spring about Scott Boras's clients not signing the major deals. Montgomery's the final big piece of the Boras three. He's going to the Arizona Diamondbacks on a pretty good contract for an AAV, but not the long-term deal that most people thought he would be getting. Did Boras get outplayed this spring? I'll go to Tyler.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I think pretty clearly he did, right? I mean, you know, when you look at the how long it took these guys to sign, I mean, we know that Scott's strategy is so often to wait and wait out the market and find that one owner who will give him everything he wants. I mean, he's, you know, guys, Prince Fielder signed late years ago and got the big money. You know, because he knew Mike Ilitch and how desperate he was to win. And then Victor Martinez had gotten injured. So there was an opportunity, you know, and he's done this over and over again, but he's also had some times in his career where guys didn't get what he thought. And I think it was Stephen Drew and Kendrys Morales, and they had to wait till during the season. So sometimes those things don't work. And I think what happened this year was just that all of those clients had some flaws that gave teams pause. I don't know what the asking prices were, but anybody can see that Blake Snell has not been a consistent year-to-year performer, and he's never thrown more than 180 innings. They can see that Jordan Montgomery has, you know, only relatively recently been an elite pitcher. You know, and Matt Chapman has not hit very well. You know, by and large, the last several years. And so, and Cody Bellinger has been inconsistent. So those issues, I think, complicated what, you know, teams desire for these guys. And Scott's strategy of waiting for the market to play out and then trying to top whatever the previous thing, it just didn't work this year because some of his clients were not as much of a slam dunk as like Garrett Cole was back in the day, or even, you know, two contracts that have blown up on their teams, which was Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon. He got those done at the winter meetings because there was demand. There wasn't the same demand this year.
I also think the uncertainty of the RSNs and the money that's going to be coming into baseball played a lot into that.
Yeah.
Brett, real quick, and then we're going to get to our predictions. For a player to stand there and have a Cy Young Award given to him or be there as part of World Series winner, and then you go into free agency and you hear everybody talk about everything you can't do. They don't talk about, hey, I just want a Cy Young. Hey, I just want a World Series. They're talking about everything you can't do. How hard is that for an athlete, a ball player, to hear everybody pick your game apart?
It's kind of what we signed up for, and that's a part of the journey. And you know, and you don't take it personal. You just know it's a part of the deal. I think the RSN had a lot to do with it. I think the Boris, the fact that he had so many of the free agents this year, and Boris's strategy is always to kind of go around the general manager and get into the owner, get above the general manager and talk to a president or an owner. I think this year they found a way to kind of cut off Scott's ability to go around the general manager. And that had something to it. I think the RSN had a huge impact on these free agents, but alluding to what Tyler was talking about, without a doubt, this group of free agents, they're great players, but they are all flawed in some way. JD Martinez signed late. He had a great year last year. The flaw in him isn't his ability. It's his age. So there were questions. All right, how much? They're watching all the market and these big-time free agents not getting the money. Oh, we'll wait it out. We'll get JD Martinez for cheaper. I think they got a great deal, and he's going to walk in and at a discount and give not only a world of knowledge, but still a very capable designated hitter. You look at a Blake Snell. Couldn't go into free agency in a better position. I just want to say Young. You look at a Montgomery, couldn't have upped his stock any more than pitch the way he pitched down the stretch and then won a World Series. So you're sitting there, Blake Snell and Montgomery with Boris, the super agent representing the offseason. It's a payday coming. And all of a sudden, it wasn't there for a Bellinger. You know, Bellinger won an MVP. Then he hit 165. Then he hit 210. Then he was comeback player of the year. Pay me. Wait a minute. Who am I getting? If I'm an owner, I'm sitting there going, who am I getting? Am I getting comeback player of the year, Cody Bellinger? Or am I getting 165 Cody Bellinger? I can't give $200 million to something I don't know what I'm getting. Am I getting Tampa Bay Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell or 2023 Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell? Or am I getting 2022, 2021 nice complimentary two or three starter? A lot of questions. And the market bared out what it bared out. I think Montgomery, I feel worse for the worst for Montgomery, because I think Snell had to set the precedent what the pay was going to be. And then Montgomery finally, he got in late. He's with the Diamondbacks. I know the Diamondbacks are really happy about that. And it's going to be interesting to see how the market and the RSN going forward affects next year's crop.
Yeah, I'll say two quick points on that. I think one, Scott, well, there's so many opt-outs in these deals. Montgomery, his second year will vest with 10 starts, so he'll be a free agent in 2 years, you would think. The other guys could all opt out again and then go through this all again. But then, you know, Scott could eventually just say, all right, well, that first deal and this second deal come out to the value that we were hoping for anyway. We saw that with Nick Castellanos a few years ago, where he got like a 4-year deal with the Reds with an opt out after two, and ended up getting a 5-year deal with the Phillies for 100. So you add that 2 to the 5, and then it looks good for, you know, career earnings. It just doesn't all happen in the moment. So I think there will be some way to look at it that way. But also, like, there weren't a lot of big spenders. The traditional spenders were kind of in hibernation this year. You know, the Phillies did Nola and Wheeler. It took care of their own guys. That was their big expenditures. The Mets laid back a little bit. The Yankees laid back a little bit, or they did smaller things with like Stroman and bringing Soto for 1 year. You know, the Red Sox have been in hibernation for a few years now. Texas won their championship, so they've backed down a little bit. So, you know, some of these bigger teams, Anaheim didn't do anything.
Padres
were scaling back, and the Dodgers made their investments with the guys from Japan. So, you know, you didn't have that big money out there you had the Giants spending, and they ended up getting, you know, Snell and Chapman, but not a lot of teams were super aggressive this offseason.
All right. Speaking of that, let's talk about trending. Teams that are trending up, trending down. Give me a couple teams, Tyler, that are trending in the right way where you would buy their stock, and a couple teams where they're trending in the wrong way and you just dump them right now, wave the white flag as we get ready for opening day. They have no shot.
Yeah, I like what Washington has been doing, slowly building. You know, Mike Rizzo hates to do it, but when he did it, I think he got pretty good value for some of his guys, and we're going to start seeing those guys from the initial Juan Soto trade come into their own. Mackenzie Gore and CJ Abrams, and then you know, James Wood tearing it up in spring training. So I think Washington is kind of on the upswing. I don't expect them to be a playoff contender this year, but I like their direction. I think Kansas City will make some strides this year in that division. They added some free agents, and you know, they've got Bobby Witt long term now. So I like where they're headed. And again, the Giants, I mean, look, they needed to change the way they do things there. I think they had that one year where everything came together. But the idea of just mixing and matching all year long and not having anyone fans could really identify with had dampened a lot of the interest locally in the Giants, and also in the standings, they just can't compete with the Dodgers. And now that I think, you know, that they got some legit guys this off season, you know, in Soler and Chapman and Snell and blanking on his name from Korea, the outfielder who they really like.
Lee,
right. And you know, Jordan Hicks. I like what they did. I think they're in the conversation again. They'll be a contender again. A
couple teams to wave the white flag.
Well, Oakland and Colorado are just, I mean, Colorado had the worst season in franchise history last year, and they really didn't add too much. They're kind of sticking with what they believe in, and it just hasn't worked in that division. They're just going to get smoked, unfortunately, because the fans out there are great, and they do have some good young players, but they're going to have a hard time. And obviously the A's are in this transition period where they did add, you know, some veterans to be a little more respectable, JD Davis and Alex Wood and Ross Stripling, but it's going to be another tough year for those A's.
All right, Booney, who are you buying? Who are you selling?
Who am I buying? And you'll hear it a lot about this in the podcast for me. I'm really buying the Giants and what they did this offseason. I think they had the best offseason out of all 30 teams. I'm also, I don't know, that's the team for me that I really like. The teams I'm not buying, you know, the White Sox are going to have another rough year. The Oakland's the obvious. Oakland's just not Oakland of yesteryear where they didn't spend money and still competed. You know, when I was playing against Oakland in the early 2000s, man, they still had the limited role. They juggled every year, a roster almost like a Tampa Bay style approach, and they were good every year. It hasn't been that Oakland team now. It's been that Oakland team that just kind of we quit trying. You know, I hate to say that, but that's when I look at Oakland and think of Oakland, it's like I quit trying. Colorado, another team. I'm not buying Colorado. The team I like a little bit, and I think they're headed in the right direction. Although the McLean thing, their young second baseman for the Reds is out. I like the youth in the Reds organization, and I like it particularly because it's such a weak division, and I think they have a chance possibly to win that division this year. So I'm in on the Reds, but who I'm really in on is the Giants and what they did this offseason.
There you go. All right, let's get to predicting what's going to happen for the 2023 season. Tyler, I see you've got your crystal baseball in front of you that he's standing there. He's looking like Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion trying to figure out what's going to come up next. So let's do our fearless prediction. Give me two fearless forecast predictions that we can play back at the end of the season. Two things that you think are going to happen this year in baseball. Brett, I'm going to put you on the spot first.
So two fearless, just outrageous, like, whoa, big call.
There you go. Put them out on Twitter right now.
We'll
save the screenshot.
All right, I'm going to stick with my theme with the Giants. The Giants will win the NL West. They will bring down the mighty Dodgers.
Wow.
I think that's going to be the best division in baseball. But if everything, and I say everything's got to go right, obviously. Snell's got to be Snell last year. Webb's got to finally win that Cy Young. Robbie Ray's got to come back with a gangbusters from Tommy John, which he could. And all these on the offensive side have to work out. But if they do, that home field advantage, the Bay Area always is a home field advantage. Hitters hate going there. Giants win the NL West. And I don't know, people are going to be outraged at this. Orioles do not make the playoffs.
What? All right.
Outlandish. There I am.
It's going to be an orange and black October in San Francisco, but not so much in Baltimore. All right, mark the tape right there, Giants fans. You heard it. Booney's calling the Giants winning the West. Tyler, you got to come up after that.
Yeah, you know, last year at this time, my fearless predictions were that Ronald Acuna would go 40-40, and boy, did he ever. And so I nailed that one. But I also said that Zach Allen would pitch a perfect game on a specific date. And I watched it, and he did happen to pitch that day. And he was like no-hitter into the fifth or something. And I was like, oh, my God, this could actually maybe happen. I was following along. He, of course, didn't do it. But I told Zach that later in the year. He was laughing. But so at least I got to have some fun with that. This year, I don't think I'll give a specific date. But I think we're going to see – and you know what's going to happen at some point, and it's going to suck. But we're going to see a combined perfect game. It's never happened before. It'll be one of these days where some starters on a pitch count or maybe an opener, and then some relievers come in and just go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and it'll be, oh, my God, what do we do with this? Like, there's only been 24 perfect games or whatever in baseball history, and now we have a combined one. It's going to be weird. It's going to bring up a lot of talk about pitching and everything. But I think one of these years it's going to happen. It almost happened a few years ago with Tampa in a game in Baltimore. So I can see that, unfortunately. The combined perfect game will be upon us at some point. And I'll say this here. And the other one is I've learned over the years never to trust anything about the Oakland A's stadium situation. And the fact that they've been making so much noise about Vegas and they have the land there, but they still don't really have a deal. And you keep hearing stuff coming out. Until that shovel's in the ground, I don't believe it. I can see the Vegas thing somehow blowing up and the A's then going back to the drawing board, maybe setting their sights on Nashville. Dave Stewart's involved in that group. Dave Stewart has Oakland ties. Maybe they turn their sights to Nashville. I have no inside knowledge of that. Just knowing what happens with Oakland, with that franchise, and seeing how slow it is to really do anything in Vegas, despite all the fancy pictures we see in the stadium, I say that thing blows up.
Rich, I'll tell you what. I think I'm learning how – I think Tyler's fearless – predictions are way better than mine. Mine are like, edgy. Oh, the Orioles aren't going to go to – because everybody loves the Orioles, and they won 100 games. They got so much young talent, and everybody is kind of pulling for the Orioles. Like, that seems real edgy to me. But he's pulling off stuff that, like, Boone's going to shoot 64 at – I'm going to shoot 64 at Augusta this year, and it happens. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to be better a year from now.
All right.
That's why Brett and I have to pay admission to walk into Cooperstown. He's got that BBWAA card that they just say, please come in here because you get to decide who gets into Valhalla. We don't get a Hall of Fame vote. He does.
I do. Yeah. Well, maybe I should just give you a date, a random date, because it'll probably be the Rays. And so let's say like July, July, they'll be coming to the end of the first half, and so everyone will be tired. So let's say that Friday – where are they on? The Friday before the All-Star game. Oh, they're playing Cleveland, and Cleveland doesn't have a great offense. I'm going to say July 12th, the Rays will throw a combined perfect game against the Cleveland Guardians. There you go.
Folks, you heard her here first. July 12th, Rays will throw a combined perfect game against the Cleveland Guardians.
That's it. Where's P. Diddy? Tyler, where is he right now?
He knows everything.
Yeah.
Tyler, I didn't win Powerball, $1.6 million. I could have done a lot of great things. Give me some lottery tickets.
Rich, you know what? He's just messing with us. He already knows the Ohtani outcome.
Is something going on with P. Diddy? I might be behind on my
You gotta check it out. You gotta check it out. It's bizarre.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Has he fled the U.S.?
The U.S., yes.
Jeez. No, oh, I just learned something. Can I just take us down a rabbit hole for 2 seconds? So I follow Tyler on Twitter. Tyler, what's your Twitter handle?
At Tyler Kepner. Very easy.
Okay. So
X.
For the last – oh, yeah, X. So for like the last year, Tyler pops up and his tweets say, not suitable or graphic. You can't see it.
Right. That's his game. Well, no, he plays every day.
I was like, what is Tyler tweeting out? I don't know. I mean, I know Tyler. I don't think he's sending out these morbid photos or anything.
And I say what it is. I say it's a score of 5 or 10 or 6.
Yeah,
or
I didn't whatever. Know what it was. So explain to people why, if they follow you on X, you're censored every day.
Oh, I just love that silly game, that Immaculate Grid game. And so I throw it out there every day to get people to remember some guys from the past. And I just shade it. You know, I put a shade over it, sensitive content, whatever, because I just – you don't want to blow the game for someone else who hasn't played it yet.
I didn't know what it was. I'm like, I think I'm just
spoiler. It's a spoiler alert. It should say spoiler alert.
Yeah, because I thought you were like, is Tyler putting out stuff that is not suitable for Facebook?
Like,
Tyler for a long time. Did he get hacked?
Yeah, no.
Did they confuse my Twitter with his Twitter?
Just spoiler alerts, baby.
I like it. All right, are you guys ready to get to the big part of the program?
Yes.
And that is our rapid fire. Let's run through the divisions. Give me just a sentence or two on each division and who you like to win each of them. So we'll start with Tyler. Walk through the National League for me.
Well, the Braves are great. Everybody knows that. But I'm going to say the Phillies just because I think they are a hot start away from being right there with the Braves. The last few years, they just started off so badly that the division was out of hand to begin with. This year, I think it'll change it up a little bit. I'll put the Phillies first. In the East, the Cubs will win the Central. That's not a great division. And the combination of Craig Counsell and you know, some good moves. I don't love the Cubs, but I think they're better than the rest in a very flawed division. And then the Dodgers, they're built for 162, and they'll figure out a way to win that division unless Boone's Giants do it. And then the wild cards, I'd give it to the although I like the Diamondbacks too a lot. And I'm giving the Diamondbacks a wild card. And the Atlanta Braves and the Padres. I think the Padres will get their act together this year and get a wild card. And then
Go ahead. Let me jump over to the National League with Booney, and then we'll get to the American League. Controversy here, Booney. He doubts your fearless prediction of the Giants.
Yes, he does. Well, I'm sure I'm in. I thought I was being so fearless and edgy. Okay, I'll go with NL East. I'm going to disagree. I think Phillies are going to finish second again. Mets in third. I think the Braves are the class of baseball. I've got them in the East. NL Central, I like the things the Reds have done, but I'm going to go back to the trusty Cardinals, who year in and year out find a way to be competitive. I think it's the weakest division in baseball. I think the Cardinals go from the basement where they were a year ago. Sonny Gray's going to head that rotation. I think they get back up to the top of that weak division. And then I'll go to the NL West, which I think is the best division in baseball. I look at it from a starting pitching standpoint. They're just really good. I think the Padres are really good too. I thought they were really good a year ago. The only question I have with the Padres, are there too many people that want to be playing short that aren't playing short
right.
and are pissed behind the scenes? Because people don't realize, especially young players, you're a shortstop. There's an ego that comes with that. Now, as a veteran player, a guy that's been there, done that, you move on for the sake of the team. When you're a young player and you're in your prime, I know Tatis is winning gold gloves in right field. But in the back of his mind, I know he's thinking, I'm a shortstop, damn it. What am I doing in right field? Cronenworth's playing first base, and he's a young second baseman with a promising future. Now he's at first with that pressure. What am I doing over here? So there's a lot of guys out of position. If they can get past all that, I think the Padres are in for a good year. Dodgers, obviously, what you guys are talking about. Arizona's really good. Gallen, Kelly, now you've got – Montgomery in that rotation, Corbin Carroll, Marte a year more.
Come on, hurry up. I want your prediction. Let's go.
Giants win that division. There it is. Giants, Cardinals, Braves.
Wild cards?
Do I have a wild card? Gosh, I want to take four. I'm going to take the Dodgers, Padres, and Arizona. Four coming from the NL West.
Tyler, Whoa. Is the West the best now? Is the National League West now the AL East of years ago?
Yeah, it's got the most competitive teams, I think. I mean, you could say maybe the AL East of today, also. But the NL West is going to be wild. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun this year.
All right, let's get to your American League predictions, Tyler.
You know, I remember irritating Brett's brother last year by you know, heaping praise on the Blue Jays, and Blue Jays ended up having a terrible year. So did the Yankees. Well, not terrible, but this year I'm going to say the Blue Jays first. I think that pitching is real, and I think the pitching will come through, and I think the offense is bound to be a little bit better. So I'm going to say Toronto, and then Minnesota in the Central. Again, I don't love the Twins. They don't love them when they lose Sonny Gray, but I do think that Royce Lewis, Correa, and Buxton, I'm just dreaming on them all being healthy at the same time, and I think they could do some special things. And I'm going to Seattle out West. I think this is going to be their year. I really do. I think their pitchers are – I know Wu is out now, but I really love their starting pitchers, and I think that's going to make a huge difference. And I think their offense is good enough. Last year was not. I do like it this year. And the wild cards, I'm going to say the Orioles, the Texas Rangers, and the Rays, only because every year I doubt the Rays in spring training and then overrate them in October. So this year I'm going to be reversed. I'm going to pick them to make the playoffs, but then when October comes around, I'm not going to be fooled again. So O's, Rangers, and Tampa Bay as those wild card teams.
All right, Boone, rapid fire, real quick. Who do you got?
I'm gonna agree with Tyler Kepner here in the AL East, and I'm going to go with the Blue Jays as well. I think that offense is as formidable as anybody, and that pitching is enough in that division. I'm going to go with the Blue Jays in the Central, just because there's nobody else to pick. I'm going to go with the Twins. They're the best team in the Central. And then in the West, I hate to do it year in and year out, but I'm going to stick with Houston. That's too good of a team. They've added Hader to that bullpen, probably the best bullpen in baseball with Hader and Presley. So I'm going to go Houston, Twins, Blue Jays for the division. My wild cards are the Mariners, who have the best on paper start the season, starting rotation in the game. I got the Texas Rangers finding a way to get in there, and Tampa Bay Rays, because they're the Rays and they do it every year, and I don't know how they do it at this point. I don't question it.
There you go. Those are Boonies. Predictions. All right, so let's get to who's going to be playing for the pennant, American League, National League. Booney, you go first. Who do you got playing in the Final Four?
Final Four. You know, I really haven't thought about that. I've just got my guys. Okay, I'll go with the Houston Astros playing the Mariners. Houston being the American League representing the American League going to the World Series. And I'm going to have the Braves. Gosh. Braves Giants.
There you go. In for a penny, in for a pound.
Braves Giants. So I'm going to go with the Braves representing the National League.
Tyler, talk to me. What do you got?
I am going to say Seattle over Texas. No, sorry. Seattle over Toronto in the ALCS. First World Series ever for the Mariners. And Brett Boone will throw out a first pitch before one of the games.
Yes.
Because
that would be pretty awesome.
He's a hero up there. With his, he'll have to do the Frosted Tips thing, though.
Yes.
And then to give the people what they want. And
the city.
So, and it'll be, you know what? It'll be an all Boone World Series because it'll be against the Phillies. So it'll be Brett's primary major league team against the team that he rode the float with in 1980 in the celebration. So Booney will be conflicted, and a lot of media will be wanting his take on this great matchup. So I'm going to say Mariners, Phillies. The Phillies will beat who will they beat in the LCS? Let's say Seattle, San Diego again. Let's say they just make a crazy run. So Phillies over Padres in the LCS, and another more heartbreak for the Dodgers and Atlanta. Phillies over Padres, Seattle over Toronto, the Brett Boone dream matchup in the World Series.
Who wins the World Series, fellas?
Phillies.
Braves. I feel like I'm too boring. It's been the Astros. It's been the Braves for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Braves are the best team in baseball for me. Again, second year in a row, they're the best team. Even though the Dodgers, everybody thinks they have the best team. They don't. The Braves do.
All right, let's wrap this up. MVP Cy Young Award winners. Who's going to be the MVP? I'll go to Tyler.
Corbin Carroll. Whoa. In the American League or the National League is going to be the first 30-30 in D-backs history and the first MVP in D-backs history. Corbin Carroll. And if I'm going all in on the Mariners, that means they'll get a lot of attention and they'll have J-Rod as the MVP there. So he, a guy coming into his prime who can do it all, had a great second half. I'll say Julio will win the MVP.
Cy Young?
Logan Webb for the Giants. Even though I don't have them in the playoffs, I do love Logan Webb. I love the volume that he brings. I think his luck is about, you know, bound to turn. He had a losing record last year somehow, despite being awesome. I think Logan Webb is coming into his own again. That was prime years. You look for prime year guys. And I'm also going to say it's going to be an all Logan Cy Young, because I'm going to say Logan Gilbert in Seattle. I think talking with him about pitching, he just really gets it. I think he is going to be creative enough, and he's obviously very talented, and he throws a lot of innings. I'm going to say Logan Gilbert. Plus, he went to Stetson, and everybody who goes to Stetson wins the Cy Young, Kluber and DeGrom and all that. So,
Go Hatters.
Webb and Gilbert.
All right, Booney. A lot of pressure on you.
Well, the MVP, it's so tough every year because it's so based on freaking staying healthy. Okay, so I eliminated the health from – I think everybody's going to get hurt that I even considered. But if I just take the best player with the most to offer, who can do it all, why wouldn't Acuña win it again? Why wouldn't Acuña win it again in Atlanta? He's got too much. He's a great hitter. He brings the power, brings 70 stolen bases. If he's healthy, he's the best player. He wins it for me in the National League. Now I go to the American League. Who is the best player, if healthy? Big if. Aaron Judge, if he's healthy for 150 games, does the most damage in baseball. He's the only guy I know that's capable of hitting 300 plus and hitting 60 plus home runs. So I'm going to go with Aaron Judge. I know they're boring picks. Move over to the Cy Young. Wow. I agree with Tyler Kepner. I'm going with Logan Webb in the National League. Love this guy. I've loved him for years. His time's coming to win it. In the American League, I'm going to go with Corbin Burnes, going to the Orioles in a trade. Been in Milwaukee a long time. I think this year he's going to remain healthy. He's going to win the Cy Young.
Those are fearless predictions. What's the over-under on Tyler Kepner buying a new razor this year and shaving?
Wait a minute. Herrera, you didn't go with the Rookie of the Year. Who's going to win the Rookie of the Year? Did you forget?
No, I knew it. I just looking at him and enchanted by Tyler's beard. For those of you that are watching on YouTube.
Oh, nobody cares about my beard.
All right, what do you got for Rookie of the Year?
Rookies of the Year, Jackson Churio and Wyatt Langford.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was too impressed a year ago in the American League down the stretch with this Evan Carter kid. Reminded me of Chipper Jones when he first came to the big leagues, 21 years old. That's my pick for the American League. In the National League, I'm going to go with the kid. Once again, going back to my Giants, the Lee kid that came over from Korea. He's mature beyond his years. He's not a normal rookie. I think he's going to win it.
Not a bad pick whatsoever. I like the beard. I hope that we see it in. I hope we see it in Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to the All-Star game this year. We'll see. But because the Hall of Fame's right up against it. So. Anyway, but either way, if I ever shave it, I'll let you know, Rich. I know you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan of the beard, and now I know I can watch you on Twitter and realize that you're not putting out things I don't want to see. You're doing that to save me.
Yes, just having some fun. Right
there, you go. Love it. Booney, thank you so much. Why don't you thank Mr. Kepner for joining us today?
You are a big fan of Tyler Kepner.
You're a big fan of Tyler.
Fanboy. It's
a little kind embarrassing.
It gets embarrassing at a point. You know?
It is.
I know I'm old hat. You get to see me all the time. You work with me all the time. I don't need
he's a
the
New
any,
York Times bestseller.
But it, man, it's a little over the top. Tyler, you might almost it's almost makes you uncomfortable.
No, I do this for the fans, you know. Yeah. I
think Rich has a poster of you above his bed.
No, it's here in the office with all the other memorabilia.
Yeah, right. Farrah Fawcett and Tyler Kemp.
I found one of his old notepads, and I put it. It's actually under glass right next to my Sugar Ray Leonard boxing glove.
Well, if you ever need me to sign it, you know, I just I'll take it.
Only if I get the certificate of authenticity.
I'll hook you up. Yeah. Hey, no problem. Anything for you.
Boone autographs. I got a ton of those. I don't need it.
All right.
That's it. We're done.
All right, boys. That was fun.
You got any parting things that doesn't have to do with Tyler Kepner? By the way, Tyler, on a professional level, I appreciate you coming on the show. Love talking to you. Love getting your insight. Love having you on the Boone podcast.
Anytime, buddy.
See, that's how normal people interact.
Oh, that's how normal people. Okay,
yeah,
I got it.
Mutual respect. Not a fanboy. Now
I know.
I like it. It makes it easier when I ask Tyler to come on because he goes, I know Rich loves me. I'll get some praise. I'll do that Boone podcast, baby.
Hey, CBS Sports Radio, every time I get a chance to talk about Tyler Kepner, you know I do. So there you go. All right, that's going to do it for our podcast for today, everybody. Enjoy the baseball season. We'll check back with Tyler around the All-Star break and then after the season to do a postseason preview. But that's going to do it for our baseball edition where we look through and preview everything. Thanks for joining us.